You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Jenny Molyneux is the mother of a 2-year-old daughter and part of the RNIB Children, Young People and Families team. And she's here today to talk about her personal experiences of parenting and maternal mental health. Hi, Jenny. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Amelia.
How did you find preparing for childbirth and parenting?
Yes, so my daughter, Theodora, she's an IVF baby. So my husband and I spent a lot of time preparing for Theodora. We had 2 rounds of IVF to have her. Sort of, we focused really on the getting pregnant thing for quite a long time. So once I was pregnant, it was a case of, oh my goodness, I'm pregnant now. What happens next? I'm registered severely sight impaired. I've got reverse retinitis pigmentosa. And just realizing very quickly that actually the maternity services are just not accessible for somebody with a vision impairment. Even just the basic things like booking in for your 12-week appointment, they hand you a big white book and that's your source of information, which is handwritten. And I just looked at my midwife and I said, she said, all the information's in there. And I said, how am I meant to access that information? Have you got it electronically? Oh, no, we don't. Going to my scans, the little screens that they have, and they are little, are on the ceiling, and I'm led there trying to get comfy. For any mum out there who knows, who's had a scan, it's not the most comfortable because you really need to go to the loo. And you're trying desperately to look at, I just couldn't see the screen. So I had to rely on my husband, who was in with me, to describe what was happening on the screen, which again was really sort of disempowering. And again, with the scan picture, I couldn't see it. That's all really important. You know, it's all part of the excitement. It's all part of becoming a parent. So again, that was sort of another barrier. You know, we moved on through the pregnancy and I started to think, right, okay, I really need to get my head around sort of the really practical elements. I've never actually looked after a newborn baby. So this is a whole new ball game for me. So I wanted to find out, you know, things like making up bottles, doing feeding, if that was the way I was going, changing nappies, bathing my baby. And because I became pregnant through the tail end of COVID, all the antenatal appointments that were sort of community ones that were face-to-face, they'd all stopped. Everything was online. I had so many professionals saying, oh, you can watch a YouTube video and it shows you what to do. And I'm like, well, I can't watch a YouTube video because I can't see it. I can hear it, but actually it's not very descriptive. So please could somebody show me how I bath my baby, because I need help with this. I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done it before. And unfortunately, that got misconstrued somewhere along the line, and there was a safeguarding referral put in, and I had a safeguarding visit from the maternal safeguarding team, which was really off-putting, because I said, there's no safeguarding issue here. I was just asking for help. And that, I think, had a big part in me starting to struggle with my personal maternal mental health, because I've just asked for help and this has just happened, and that was a really negative response. So actually, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and I'm not going to say anything, which is such the wrong thing to do. You know, all mums should be asking for help and all mums should be getting the help that they need in a format that they need it in.
That sounds really difficult. And how did you feel after Theodora was born?
Unfortunately, my birth didn't go straight forward. I ended up having an emergency cesarean section, but Theodora arrived safe, well, a little bundle of 6-pound joy. And I was in hospital for 24 hours after having her. And the hospital were really good. They let my husband stay all the way through just to support me around my visual impairment. So, you know, they did make some adjustments for me, which was very much appreciated. The communication wasn't amazing, but again, we sort of got over that and we came home. For mums that have had a C-section will know it's quite uncomfortable, and, you know, just being able to pick your baby up can be quite difficult at times. But came home. Unfortunately, I wasn't in the position to be able to breastfeed, didn't really get the support I needed to be able to do it. Again, having somebody trying to say you need to look and do this wasn't particularly helpful. So I went down the bottle feeding route. So had to use talking weighing scales, and this is all information that sort of I sort of had to devise myself, because at the time the parenting guides weren't available at the RNIB. So I didn't know how I could make a bottle up until we realised, I can use the talking weighing scales. And we muddled along, but I was struggling. I was finding it really difficult. My health visitor was wonderful. She came out and she was trying to support me the best she could. But unfortunately, as the weeks went on, my mental health deteriorated. I went to see my GP, who helped me with medication. There was a lot of anxiety because I'd asked for help in my pregnancy and I didn't get the response that I needed. I was incredibly reluctant to ask for help because I was just thought somebody's going to come along and say, actually, Jenny, you're not capable of looking after your daughter and we're going to take her off you, which was so far from the truth. But when you're struggling with your maternal mental health, you can't see past that.
You were just trying to prepare, and before you were just trying to get ready, ask all of the normal questions, ask how you could do all of the essential tasks that it takes to parent. And then, like you said, you got sort of a very disproportionate response. You know, it's completely understandable why you were worried.
And I'm a very independent person, and prior to having Theodora, I was very confident. I was out and about. I would very much take it in my stride. I've been visually impaired for quite some years, so the vision impairment in itself wasn't the problem. It just couldn't find the information. And I think that definitely contributed to my mental health and the fact that I started to struggle leaving the house. I became so worried that something was going to happen to my daughter that I couldn't keep her safe. But these are all classic signs of a mum who is struggling with maternal mental health. I was diagnosed with severe postnatal depression. I had OCD, so obsessive compulsive disorder. And a lot of people think that's just where you go around cleaning all the time. Obsessive compulsive disorder is also about intrusive thoughts. And I was having some very disturbing intrusive thoughts about my daughter coming to harm. And that then led to me just not leaving the house. I became agoraphobic. I didn't want to leave the house unless I was with somebody else because I didn't feel that I was good enough or able to keep my daughter safe. And that progressively deteriorated. A lot of mums can struggle and they can get help from the perinatal mental health team, who are a community-based team. And they can come and see you and get the support. And I was referred into that service and I was doing really well. I was making progress. Within those teams, they have occupational therapists, they have psychiatrists and psychologists who can support mums just, to be able to manage their emotional and mental well-being, to keep mums and babies safe and happy and, to get better and to enjoy being a mum. And unfortunately, I didn't enjoy being a mum. I just found it a really anxiety-provoking time, which is such a shame because it's such a special time for mums to be bonding with baby. And it wasn't that I didn't bond with Theodora, it was just I was so anxious all the time that it really had an impact on my enjoyment. And then sort of an incident happened where I really felt that I just couldn't keep her safe, and my mental health deteriorated quite significantly to the point where the decision was made that I was going to be admitted into a mummy and baby mental health unit, which is obviously every person's nightmare. And I'm not saying this would happen to everybody in any way, shape, or form. It was just my experience. And I was admitted into a mummy and baby unit, which again in itself I found so challenging because I was taking my daughter with me, which meant I was taking her away from her dad and her stepbrothers. And I was going into a unit who were absolutely amazing, and I cannot praise them enough. I mean, they completely saved my life and saved my family's life. But they had never had a visually impaired mum before. So going into an environment where I was already feeling very isolated, very lonely, very vulnerable, and having to try and explain to them what I needed was really difficult. So my husband obviously tried his best to explain sort of what support I needed, how, because I didn't know. If I'd gone in with my professional head on, I'd have been able to go, oh yes, yes, these adaptions need doing, you know, put some bump ons on the sterilizer so she knows which ones, you know, Jenny knows which sterilizer's hers, put a bump on the back of the high chair, which will be Theodora's high chair, you know, just little simple things like that. But I just couldn't even manage that at the time. However, the therapist, the psychiatrist, psychologist were all amazing, and they all worked with me to find my pathway through. And after 14 weeks on the mummy and baby unit, I got my confidence back. I felt better. I knew I was a good mum. I knew I could look after my daughter. And I was discharged from hospital. And I got the support then from the perinatal community team back at home, who supported me with more psychology sessions, psychiatry appointments. And then I did occupational therapy to help me get out and about, to build my confidence back up, to be able to take my daughter out in her pram using my guide dog and be able to go on public transport. And my world that became such a small world, it was so isolated, actually started to grow again. And as I got better and as I became more confident, I really realised that actually there needs to be more awareness around maternal mental health, and especially for mums who have got a disability as well. I think there's that extra layer of anxiety about asking for help. Even mums who don't have a disability are scared of asking for help, because their default reaction is, if they think I can't look after my baby, they're going to take my baby off me. And having experienced the full range of maternal mental health services, that is the last thing on everybody's mind. They just want to make sure that mummy and baby are well, are together, and that mum gets the support to be able to be the best mum she possibly can. Being mum is hard. It's a really, really difficult job. And being a parent is hard. To have other complications or other barriers to being able to do it, we need to be raising the awareness around support for mums and support for dads. And also, it's okay not to be okay, and it's okay to ask for help, and don't be frightened of asking for help, because the support is there and it's positive. Mm. Although I had quite a negative experience, I am so positive about the experience that actually I'm a true believer that everything happens for a reason. And if that means that I can raise awareness around maternal mental health, around support for mums who have a disability, or, you know, or VI mums, then that's what I'm going to do. And just because you've got a vision impairment doesn't mean you can't be an amazing parent, because you absolutely can. You just might do it slightly differently to sighted parents.
I think it's so helpful as well for people to hear how mental health goes up and down sometimes. And even if, you know, everyone, even if you are getting some good support and you're making progress, it is quite common for people to face another challenge and sort of need to build things back up again. And hearing about all of these different resources that are available and the different services that people can access and lean on when they need it is really helpful.
Yeah, there is still quite a way to go for supporting organisations to make things accessible, but they're definitely heading in the right direction, so that it is accessible, that information can be accessed in a format that a mum or a dad or a grandparent, so be that whether they need it in a large print format or audio or braille. And I'm hoping that the more awareness raised around that, this moves forward and services can be more accessible.
And what piece of advice would you give to parents that are blind and partially sighted?
If parents are struggling or they want some further information, they can contact the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or they can contact the Children, Young People and Family Service, and they can do that by emailing cypf.mailbox@rnib.org.uk, Or they can go to the RNIB website at www.rnib.org.uk, and if they search for parenting resources, they'll be able to find the parent VI parent guides on there, which is a good starting point for everybody. But please don't try and muddle along. If you're struggling, please ask for help. Picking up the phone is the hardest bit, but once you've done it, there are lots of services and resources out there for people to support.
Thank you so much, Jenny Molyneux from RNIB Children, Young People and Families team, for sharing your story and joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Amelia.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.